Okay, we'll start then, right? So, what did you learn about in devotions today?
Well, not everything.
What?
Being above average.
Being above average, oh yeah. Okay, so we kind of learned about like things that we do naturally and the things that are hard to do, which is the spiritual things. So I'm just going to pray there before I begin. Let's all pray. Dear Father, Lord God, thank you, Lord, just for this opportunity to speak to these teenagers. Lord God, I pray that you would help me, and I pray that that you would use your Holy Spirit, Lord God, through me. And I pray that you will soften the hearts of all these people here, Lord God, that we would just seek your face truly, Lord, and that we would just give heed to the things that you want from us in our lives, Lord. Please bless everyone, Lord God, and I pray that just this youth camp would bear much fruit in our lives, Lord, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So my title of my sermon is Doing What Comes Naturally, okay? So you have a choice. You don't have to live the way you were born. You don't have to be a slave to your wants and desires. You can be free. If you are a Christian, there are two paths you can take in your Christian life. I just got a few verses that show the Bible talks about these two paths. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. There's another verse. I call heaven and earth to record against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So here we see two ways. One that's sowing to the flesh and leads to death. The other one that's sowing to the Spirit and leads to life. So, the natural man. So this is my first point. Most people think that there is only one way to live, the natural way. The natural way is exemplified by the following example. I'm just going to give you an example of the natural way to live. The normal, instinctive way. Alex, are you here? Oh. This is the natural way.
What are you doing, boy?
See, that's the natural way to react, you know what I mean? Okay, you can sit down now, thanks. That's the instinctive way. Like, if we get hit, then we hit back. You know, that's just a good example of the natural way to live. Just the instinctive way. So, it's also exemplified by the following philosophy of life. If I'm hungry, I'll eat. If I'm itchy, I'll scratch. If it'll make me look good, why not? If it feels good, I'll do it. If I'm thirsty, I'll drink. If I'm angry, I'll explode, like I did there. If I'm in pain, I'll complain. If I'm bored, I'll entertain myself. If I'm tired, I'll relax. I can't go there, that's a trek. If I'm lazy, I'll sleep. Just a few more minutes, I mean hours, in bed. If I achieve, I'll boast. If I don't have it my way, I'll fight for it. If I don't feel like it, forget it. If it takes effort, no thanks. And if I want it, I'll get it. So if we turn to Judges 14, 1-4, we can see this in Samson's life. If I want it, I'll get it. Judges 14. It says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he saw an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So here we see Samson, he sees something with his eyes, he likes it, and he's like, I can't do without it, I have to have it. That's living according to the flesh. If I want it, I'll get it. So he sees a woman from the land of Philistia. So he obviously sees a wicked woman, not a woman that's serving God, not a woman that knows God. The Philistines were a people that served another god. They served Baal and other gods. So he wasn't marrying within God's will. So is that in any way applicable to a Christian life today? What's that like? That we shouldn't marry Philistines or something like that? How can we apply that today? Does anybody know? What? Yeah, marrying a non-Christian. So basically, Samson kind of like married a non-Christian. So Judges 14:3 there, if we go over that again. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. So his mother is saying, you've so much choice. There's all these women in Israel, and they're all, like, most of them would have been better than the Philistine women. Like, Israel was still backslidden, but at least they knew God, they knew the true God, Jehovah. And they still would have made a lot better wives than these Philistines. So his mother is saying, look at all the choice you have here. Look at all these women in Israel that are good women. But Samson had to go for the exciting Philistine women, the evil women. So God is not a God of restrictions. The best things in life are freely given to us by God to enjoy. He only forbids things that look good on the outside, but are actually viciously destructive to our lives and the lives of others. You teenagers have a lot of choice. Maybe some of you think, oh, because I'm a Christian, I can't do this and I can't do that. I can't go to the nightclub and I can't go to the discos and I can't like go out with someone because I'm only 12. You know what I mean? All this kind of stuff. But you think you have a lot of restrictions, but when you think about it on the other hand, look at all the things that God gives us freely. There's lots of great joys that aren't evil. Like there's good health. That's not evil. There's good friends. There's the joy of God. There's just knowing God, prayer, having the Bible, that's a blessing. Just the ability to come to U Camp, to be able to play sports and to do skits and to sing. And, you know, like, look at all these blessings that we have. And all we ever look for is the things that we don't have, the things that we can't have. Just like Samson, he had all the women in Israel that he could have chosen, but he wanted that forbidden fruit over in the land of the Philistines. So man always chooses the forbidden fruit. If I want it, I'll get it. The natural man, which is the man that we naturally are, the instinctive man, is no better than an animal. An animal basically just acts upon their instincts. A dumb dog will run out into the middle of a motorway in oncoming traffic to get a bone or a snack. His focus is only on what he wants, the desire of his body. He does not consider the consequences or hazards involved when making his choices. By nature, we are fallen, depraved, degenerate, corrupt, earthly, sensual, devilish. The Bible describes us as this. Naturally, every one of us is sinful and wicked, because that's where we're born. The Bible says, in us dwelleth no good thing. Every one of us is gone back. We are altogether become filthy. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our throat is an open sepulchre, but our tongues have used deceit. The poison of asp is under our lips. Our mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Our feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in our ways, and the way of peace have we not known. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We in our natural state have no preeminence above a beast. We are of the dust, and we return to dust again. So that's in the book of Ecclesiastes. So basically, what we are naturally, we're kind of no good, like, basically. Naturally, without God's intervention, we are nothing. We're evil, we are drawn to evil things, and we're only ever going to do evil. Just like an animal, the natural man acts only upon his whims, his feelings, the desires of his body, the flesh, his carnal, selfish, degrading lusts. So if we turn to Judges chapter 16, we see another example of this. Samson, again, acting just the natural way, like an animal. Judges chapter 16, verse 1. So then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. So basically, Samson, he went down to Gaza and he saw another evil woman of the Philistines. This Gaza was another Philistine city. And he went in unto her, which means he laid with her. She was a prostitute. So again, we see Samson. He sees something that his eyes desire. He doesn't think about what God wants, or he just acts upon his own desires, his own flesh, what he's just naturally led to do. And he does it. Again, Samson's focus is only on what he wants, the desires of his body. He does not consider the consequences or hazards involved when making his choices. So what hazards were there for Samson? to go in onto this harlot? What hazards does the Bible speak about these kind of strange women and harlots and stuff? Does anybody have any input? Okay, I'll tell you then. The Bible says, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. The strongest men in the Bible have been slain by harlots. For example, David, he could defeat like armies of Edomites, Philistines, or maybe not Philistines, Edomites and Ammonites and stuff like that. He could just defeat entire armies, but he couldn't withstand Bathsheba just taking a bath on her housetop. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. So that's obviously a whore and a strange woman aren't good things. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. A man loses all his dignity. He's just brought to nothing. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So when we go astray just like Samson did here, and we mess around with strange women, then we get a wound and a dishonor that will never be wiped away. Even if we repent and you know, get our lives back together again, we still have that wound for all eternity. What the world considers life today is what the Bible calls living like an animal, the natural way. So again, we see one more example of Samson just doing what's natural, doing what comes naturally, just following his desires. If you go to Judges 14, please. And after a time, this Thomas Samson, returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. So Samson comes across a carcass, and there's honey in the carcass, and the honey looks good. It looks like, you know, he's hungry, and the honey looks really nice, and his mouth is watering, and, you know, he wants the honey. And what does he do? Verse 9. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So he took the honey out of the carcass of the lion and he ate it. So does anybody know why that was wrong? Why Samson shouldn't have done that? Because he was a Nazarite. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6 that a Nazarite can't touch anything dead or unclean. This was an unclean animal, and it was a carcass. So even though the honey was good, and he was hungry, he shouldn't have done it. You know, he just went according to the desires of his body. Again, he was just a slave to his lusts and a slave to just what he wanted and what his eyes saw. Again, he didn't think about whether it was right or wrong. He just went ahead and disobeyed. So has God given Christians any rules to obey, like as believers? What should we obey? Like some things that are in the world that we shouldn't partake in. Does anybody have any examples? Yeah? Was it? Fellowship with the world. Yeah, that's a good one. Anything else? Anything else that we should not do? Yeah, drink alcohol, yeah? So if Samson was a Christian today, and he went into a pub, and he was really thirsty, and he saw like a pint of Guinness or something, he probably would have just drank it straight away. He wouldn't have thought, oh, that's wrong. He would have just been going with his flesh, what he wanted. So, again, Samson's flesh was allowed to take over and force him to do something that would be gratifying, but wrong. So, if you're not saved today, you don't have a choice. You are bound by your body and flesh to only perform what your lusts demand of you. You have no choice but to stay in sin, in filth, walking after the imaginations of your evil heart. You have no power of yourself to follow that which is good, the true path. You are destined to be taken and destroyed like a beast. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give you the power to overcome your evil imaginations and desires. If you don't have the Holy Spirit today, if you're not a true Christian, if you're not born again, then you will never become what you should be, which is a follower of Jesus Christ. You won't be able to do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. My dog is like a complete glutton. Like if you dangle a piece of chicken in front of my dog, the dog's never going to be like, no, I don't want the chicken, like, you know what I mean? I'm cool. You know, I'm on a diet, like, or something. She's not going to say it. Like, if I dangle a piece of chicken in front of a dog, she's just going to be like, you know what I mean, wherever I turn it, she's just going to be following the chicken, and if I throw it away, she'll just follow it, you know. That's the way an unsaved person is always going to be. An unsaved person is just going to follow sin because they don't have the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in them that will help them to resist temptation. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, some of you might be asking, why did God make us this way? Like, why did God make us that we just naturally move to sin? Or kind of like, we're naturally just attracted to evil. Like, why did he make us this way? But he actually didn't make us this way. Does someone want to read Romans 5:12, please? Do I have any volunteers? Yeah, someone really loud. Ella, you want to read it, yeah? So sin came into the world. God didn't bring sin and death into the world. It was Adam that brought sin and death into the world. So God didn't create us like the way we are, naturally, the evil way. It was because of our father Adam. So that's why we're like this. And yeah, I suppose I have to skip some things, you know, so I have 11 pages here. So if you are a Christian, this is the second point, right? If you are a Christian today, there is another way to live, to walk in the Spirit. You don't have to be fleshly, carnal person like Samson. If you want to turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, we start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we've received the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's when we get saved. That's when we receive the true knowledge of God and of Jesus. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So God has given us all things, his divine power has given us all things that will pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us everything. He's equipped us with the ability to live above ourselves, to live spiritually. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. So the divine nature is Christ's nature. It's the spiritual life. It's not the earthly nature, which is the carnal, fleshly life. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Christians should have escaped the corruption by getting saved. 1 Peter 4, verse 1 to 2, I'll just read this for you. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to lusts of men, but to the will of God. So that's a Christian. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5. So walking in the Spirit is exemplified by the following. I'll just give you some examples of, you know, what people would say when they're walking in the Spirit. I'll do it even if it's hard, because I love that person. I'll take that burden on my shoulders. It hurts, but it will make me a stronger Christian. I'm hungry, but I'll share. I don't know why that person hates me, but I will show kindness to them. I want it, but I know it's bad for me, so I won't get it. Yes, boss, I'll work on late tonight for the company's sake with no extra pay. Yes, mother, yes, father, I'll do it right away, no problem. I'll pray before I make a decision on this. Even though I'm exhausted, I will get out of bed to read the Bible. I feel annoyed, but I'm going to hold my peace. Even though the showers at youth camp are cold, I'll take one every day. Even though this seems weird, I know it is good for me. That's talking about my preaching. She is really nice. She's really nice looking, but the rewards of doing God's will are far better than her. He seems like a really loving guy, but if he's not a true Christian, his desires are only ever going to be selfish. That looks like a class movie, but I won't watch it because it is not God's will. I don't have very much money, but I'll give what I can to help that person out. Life is not about my pleasure, it is about God's glory. They have a new album coming out, but I don't care about that nonsense now. I'll be a good testimony in school and I'll preach the Bible at work. If it'll make my friends hate me, so be it. I will trust God and I will not retaliate, is the other point. Yeah.
God bless.
See, that's walking the spirit right there. He didn't retaliate, he didn't try and punch me, he just said, God bless you. Don't worry, I told about it before. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. So I just have, in the last few minutes that we have here, I'm just going to give you 6 points about how to walk in the Spirit. How to overcome your fleshly, natural selves and become spiritual, successful Christians. So if you want to get out your notebooks and like write these 6 points down, they're pretty good. I didn't wet your Bible there, Eli, did I? That's the main thing. So turn to Mark 14:38. So the background of this story is that Jesus is in the garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying before his crucifixion. But his disciples are really tired and they're just falling asleep. They can't pray. So Jesus says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Now many of you in this room, I hope, your spirits are ready, which means There's a part of each one of you that wants to be a good Christian, and that wants to make a success of the Christian life. But your flesh is weak. Your flesh is saying, "No, I want to live. I want to listen to that music, or I want to, still go out with her or him." You know, so the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And Jesus says, "Watch ye and pray." This is the first step. Is watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So you will not be able to walk in the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit's help. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And this is the important part. It says, "But be filled with the Spirit." The Bible says, "Be filled." It's up to you. Like it says for us as Christians to be filled. So God is always willing to pour out the Holy Spirit to help us. But we need to be filled. It's up to us. Yield yourself each morning to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll give an example. See this? I'm going to pour water from this cup, not on anybody, into this cup. But like, if I just pour the water like over here or something, it's just going to spill on the floor. Unless this cup is near where the water is coming. So just like a Christian, the Christian's like this empty cup here. This is like God. You know, he's always willing to pour out the Holy Spirit. But if the cup is over here, you know, he's not going to pour out the Holy Spirit. Like, you know. So we need to be close to God each day in prayer, and then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like this cup is being filled with water. So God is always ready. We just need to be filled, the Bible says. Go to God in prayer, asking him to help you resist temptation and to walk in the Spirit. If you think that you can go through the day without God's help, without seeking God's face, without walking with God, without praying, and without reading the Bible, just like, and resist temptation, then you're going to fall, you're going to fail, because our flesh will always give in. Go to God in prayer, yeah, asking him to help you resist temptation and to walk in the Spirit through the day. There's four more points. Sorry, I said six, but there's actually five. So there's four more points left, and this is if your spirits are ready. If your spirits are ready and willing to live a successful Christian life, you can implement these four new points. So number two, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you want to maybe go to Romans 12, please. So there's a lot of power in the mind, you know. If you're thinking about good things, then you're probably going to do good things. If you're thinking about bad things, then you're probably going to do them. So we need to master our own minds and our own thoughts. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to renew our minds, and we need to be transformed. Why do we need to be transformed? Because the way we are already is evil, it's wicked, it's sinful, and it's carnal. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to renew our minds, think new thoughts. So we naturally think about bad things, about sin and about lust and about our desires and about our selfishness. We need to transform our minds. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we need to cast down every thought that is not godly, that's not Christian, that's just gonna keep us back from living a Christian life. We need to just, the minute the thought that comes into your head, just cast it down. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We need to question our thoughts. Question your thoughts. Ask yourself, is this of God? Will this thought help me to walk in the Spirit today, to live above my fleshly appetites? There's a good quote from a guy called Tryon Edwards. He says, thoughts lead on to purposes. Purposes go forth in action. Actions form habits. Habits decide character, and character fixes our destiny. So it all starts with a thought, and then this will influence our destiny. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So point three is mortify the deeds of your body. So we all have bodies here, and they're very much alive. But we need to become dead to sin. The Bible says, actually, if you want to turn to Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So, does anybody know what mortify means? Yeah? No? Well, embarrassed in the modern world, but mortify means to kill. Like, mortal means that you're going to die. Mortify is to let it die. The Bible says, and they that are Christ's, which is all Christians, saved people, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So our body and our affections and our old natural self should be crucified with Christ. The Bible says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's up to us. We can reckon that our flesh is dead, or we can reckon that our flesh is still alive. It's up to us. When we see something sinful, when we desire something in the world that's not of God, we can either reckon that I still want that, or we can just reckon and say, oh, I've died to that because I'm crucified with Christ. I've just got a good example. Who likes soccer here? Okay. I pick Bozzy. Okay. So, if you want to just go over there and lie down on the floor and kind of like be dead. So Boz here, he's a big soccer fan, even though he's not. He's a rugby fan. But say if, you know, I went over to Bozzy and I really wanted a game of soccer and you know, if he was dead, like, I'd be like, come on, Bozzy, do you want a game of soccer? Come on, boy. I have a ball here and everything. It says Galactic Football on it. Come on, man. Come on, like. I'm a game of soccer. You can go on goal if you want. Come on, yeah. Come on, man. There's loads of other guys playing soccer, man. See, he's not responding because he's dead. Even though he loves soccer, he can reckon himself dead to it and he doesn't have to come with me. Not that soccer's evil, you know. That's just an example. But other things are evil. Like, you know the things that are evil yourselves, you know. We can die to that. So that's number three, mortify the deeds of your body. Number four, make no provision. Don't provide for your lusts. Don't make it easy for yourself to give in. Don't surround yourself with things that remind you of your lusts and of your evil desires. Notice Samson always went when there was where there was trouble. First he went to Timnath and just married a Philistine from there. Timnath wasn't a good place. It was the land of that the Philistines owned. There was obviously he wasn't going to find any godly girls there. He was only going to find ungodly, idolatrous girls. And then he went to Gaza, which is also a Philistine city. It wasn't a city of Israel. And there he found a prostitute. Samson was obviously, he knew what was going to be there. He knew what was going to be in Gaza. He knew what was going to be in Timnath. Evil women. And that's what his flesh desired. But see, we're not supposed to go to Gaza. We're not supposed to go to Timnath. We're not supposed to go to those places that will make us give in to temptation. So Samson's saying, I think I'll pay a visit to Gaza. He's like, I think I'll pay a visit to my friend's house on Friday night. He's having a few others over. And that blonde one might be there. I think I'll add that hot guy from Ballincollig as a friend on Facebook. I think I'll just pay a visit to a certain website while nobody's looking. I think I'll give my ex-girlfriend a call, see how she's doing. I think I'll just flick on a bit of television before I go to bed. And there's never anything good on television, like, during the day, so definitely not during the night. I think I'll join my friends for a night out. So that's like going to Gath or going to Timnath. You're always going to meet with trouble there. You're never going to do anything godly there. And you're going to fall into temptation and evil. So the Bible also says abstain from fleshly lusts. That means stay away from fleshly lusts. Turn to 1 Peter 2:11, please. 1 verse. Dearly beloved, does anybody know this verse off by heart? There's no point. Does anybody know this verse off by heart? Yeah. It's one of the verses for today. Yeah? Yeah? Do you want to stand up there and say it? There's no points for it though, because you're on team 4.
Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul.
Yeah. Well done. So, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So, the Bible says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims don't do the normal stuff that everyone else is doing. They're just passing through a land. They don't belong to that land. That's what Christians are. We're strangers and pilgrims. for example, if there was a guy who came over here from like Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan or something, he wouldn't do the normal things that Irish people do, you know? He wouldn't be like walking around saying, all right, boys, I'm from Kazakhstan there. You know what I mean? He wouldn't be like, walking around like, what else do Irish people do? He wouldn't be like, oh, that's a trek there, boy. I'm not going up that mountain at all, boy. You know, he wouldn't be like drinking Guinness or doing all those other things that Irish people do. Because he's a stranger and he's a pilgrim. He doesn't act like everyone else. That's what Christians are supposed to be in this world. We're not supposed to be partaking in the evils and in the things of this world. We're supposed to be strangers and foreigners. And the Bible says, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts. And why does he want us to abstain from fleshly lusts? He says, which war against the soul. Now, there's lots of things that war against our body. Cancer, leukemia, athlete's foot, as I'm learning lately. These things war against our body. They make war with our body. They attack our systems, our organs, you know, and nobody wants like cancer or any of these diseases like that do so much damage to our body. You know, we spend like thousands of euros. People spend thousands of euros to, you know, get heart bypasses and you know, all these operations just so, you know, our body is protected from these diseases and these evil things. How much more worth is our soul to our body? And what about things that war against our soul? How much more serious is that than anything that can war against our body? Our soul is immortal. Our body is going to die anyway. It will die in a few years. Our souls will live for eternity. Things that war against our soul will blemish us and will stain us for all eternity. Some things at war against our soul: MTV, rock stars, rappers, whores and harlots, sleazy perverts, movies, sitcoms, celebrities, the love of money, covetousness, glamour, popularity, alcohol, drugs, smoking, modernism, fashion, pride, laziness, anger, selfishness and foolishness. These are all things at war against our soul, and we need to abstain from them. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So last point, point five, this is an important point. Set your affections on things above. So the other four points were kind of about, like, you know, like staying away from evil things. But now we need to turn to good things in order that our spirit is fed instead of our flesh. Does anybody know 1 John 2:15 off by heart? No? I heard someone saying it today. Must have been a little kid or something. So 1 John 2:15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we need to turn from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and we need to do the will of God. We need to turn to the will of God. We're not just going to turn to people that just, like, sit there all day, like, can't do anything. It's evil, you know. God has called us to do other things, to set our affections on things above. If we turn to Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, this is those that are saved are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So that's where our real life is, above. We need to set our affections on things above. So, setting our affections on things above, what does that mean in a practical sense? Get to know God. Spend a few hours with him in prayer. Tell him your problems and griefs. Tell him your needs. He will hear you like nobody else will. So, unfortunately, a lot of Christians never find out what it's like to have a real walk with God. Maybe they spend like 5 minutes in prayer every day or whatever. They pray when they're in trouble. But a lot of Christians don't realize that spending time with God is something that's great. We all have natural fathers and natural mothers. You know, spending time with our fathers, I like to spend time with my father. It's a lot of fun. Spending time with our Heavenly Father is so much better, and it's so much more important. And you know, if you've got problems in your life, you can go to God with your problems. This is what setting your affection on things above means. Focus your attention on spiritual things. Be a friend to someone lonely. Visit the sick in hospital. Help out at church. That's setting your affections on things above. Stop thinking so much about earning money or your career on earth. And think about the rewards in heaven and in Christ's kingdom when it comes to earth. When Christ comes to earth, each one of us is going to have a reward. You know, some people are going to be ruling cities. Other people are going to be doing some kind of base task. So we need to be striving to be on top when Christ comes and he establishes his kingdom here on earth. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, teenagers, I mean, maybe you're lacking in ideas about, like, how to set your affections on things above. But, like, you know, you're all probably very familiar with the internet and stuff like that. There's so many ways today to spread the word of God and to speak to your friends and to try and change this nation into a godly nation. And try and fight against evil. You can start causes on blogs, like you can start like a blog about, you know, Christianity in Ireland, or, you know, maybe you can start a blog about soul winning, or start a blog about, you know, righteous living or something like that. You can have Bible studies even among yourselves. You can have like teenage Bible studies. You know, don't wait for us to organize it. Like, yeah, you can be proactive. You know, being proactive is not just following what everyone else is doing. It's being proactive, doing, you know, whatever God, you think God has called you to do. Don't wait for the church to have soul winning events. You should be like ringing each other. You know, do you want to go soul winning? Do you want to hand out tracts in town or wherever? You can even give me a ring and I'll come all the way to Dublin if you want. I'll hand out tracts with you. Look at all the time that you have during the summer. Like, I mean, all the time that you have, like hours upon hours of free time that you're not in school. You know, and you should be doing something worthwhile, you know. And just because it's godly and it's about spiritual things, doesn't mean it's going to be boring. Like, you know, I have like the best time soul winning. Like, soul winning on Saturday is just like so much fun. You know, we meet the craziest, kind of wackiest people. You know, we get to preach to people. We met a guy a few weeks ago. He's from Vietnam, he fought in the Vietnam War, and we were talking about how Jesus can wash away all sins, and you know, he killed like loads of innocent people and everything. You know, that was that was a really interesting time. You know, and soul winning is just really good fun. One time, me and Martin, we talked to two guys, and they're leaving surf for about 2 hours in the drive about all sorts of things, about the end times and about conspiracies and about, you know, it was just a lot of fun. So basically, the things that are spiritual are actually a lot of fun as well, and we need to set our affections on things above. So that's pretty much the final point. So in conclusion, I just want to ask, what motivates your actions? Is it the flesh or is it the Holy Spirit? These are things that you need to be thinking about. If you are not a Christian, you will only ever be able to live after the flesh. You were without the Holy Spirit and therefore without any power to overcome your natural evil affections. So anybody who's not a Christian here today, not born again, then you need to get born again, or else you're just going to be a slave to your flesh and you're just going to end up in hell. So you need to make a choice. Do I want to be a success in life, which means a successful Christian? If the answer is yes, then you need the Holy Spirit. If you live the way you naturally do, you will fail. You need to make these five things real in your life. Number one, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Two, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Three, mortify the deeds of your body. Four, make no provision for your flesh. Abstain from fleshly lusts. And number five, set your affections on things above. So, just pray and finish off. Dear God, Lord, I pray that you will just help us with these things that we've learned about today, Lord, from your word. And these are things that you have taught us, Lord, from the scriptures. And we need to really realize, Lord, the power you've given us as Christians and the great promises you've given us. And you've given us your Holy Spirit as well, Lord. So none of us that are saved here today, Lord, have any excuses if we don't live according to your word and according to the way that you want us to live. And I pray you will encourage every teenager, Lord, in this room just to be excited about spiritual things, Lord God, and not just to be after physical, carnal things in this world, Lord. Please help us, every one of us, just to be satisfied with what we have in Jesus Christ, and help us to see that it's so much better than anything we could have had, Lord, if we were not saved. And I pray that anybody that's not saved, Lord, that they would just desire the spiritual life, Lord God, desire to not be a slave to their lusts, Lord God, but would just desire that they would follow Jesus, Lord God, and end up in heaven. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.